our personalities, and we have certain styles built into our personalities that do affect who we are. This particular indicator helps us identify our preferences, especially in relationship to making decisions. How do we like to make decisions? Some of you might just think, well, everybody knows how to make decisions, but people use different processes to get to a point, and some take longer and some take shorter, and you may have lots of experience with some frustrations for that sort of thing. This test is used popularly in couples counseling. It's used in a number of businesses now for people that work together to help them know how they make decisions and work together and that sort of thing. It talks about relationships, and today we're going to talk especially about the relationship to God in this. I think it's important for us to know ourselves so that we can pursue our spirituality. I think our spirituality is a way, we need to make ourselves available to God so that we can act out in our world, act out on the things that are important to us. So through this, we might be able to make ourselves more available. If we kind of know how we prefer to do things, we can be more available to God speaking to us. The Myers-Briggs was developed by two women, mother and daughter, Catherine Briggs and Isabel Briggs Myers. They developed it and got working on it back in the 40s, and they were looking for a way to help people live together more harmoniously, to help people be more peaceful. And they were interested in looking at differences and likenesses to help people do that. And that's how they got started with it. It shows us how people are different, and it just says we are different in how we make our decisions and how we think. We do make choices about how we want to interact, and it helps us build on our strengths because it helps us know what our strengths are as we make decisions, or we know what our preferences are. We know what strengths we have. Likewise, we can come to appreciate the strengths of other people, and that's kind of where the differences sorts of things comes in. It's real important to know that part of this test is looking at who you are, but also who you are not, and who somebody else might be, who might be different from you. There are 8 indices, and I'm going to go quickly through these. Don't worry, I won't test you on it. But we have parts of all of them. But there are some that we have preferences of, and that's what will show up. These are not abilities. These are types or styles of making decisions, of showing your preferences. You're going to hear me saying some of the same words over and over again, because sometimes they're words that we're not used to using in our common day-to-day language. It also shows us our blind spots, where we might kind of, as I said up here, we have all 8. You might realize that you don't have one, and you might start building on that. Or else just know that, boy, I like to gather the information in, make a decision and have it over with. And I'm working with somebody who never has enough information. And you can always get more information. That could be real frustrating. But you can maybe see the beauty in both if you're colleagues, and try to work with each other and use the best of both. And you may change. I've changed. I've taken this test probably about 10 times in the last 6 or 7 years, and I've shifted. And I think it has to do with where I am today in my life. And from day to day, things change for me. So, I'm not going to, unless you have a question, I'm going to really go through this swiftly so I can just give you a taste of lots of different things on this. Again, there are 8 qualities, and I'm going to start talking about those now. The first set of indices help us answer the question, what is your relationship to the world? And the words that Myers and Briggs use are introvert and extrovert. I want you to stop right now and dump all what you think about introversion and extroversion, okay? Unless you've taken this before and you understand a little bit about it. It's not that you are shy and demure or gregarious. It's how you get energized, how you look at the world. And it's, you know, the easiest way to think of it is if you are inner world energized or outer world energized. If you need to go to a party to get jazzed up and get some energy back again, or if you need to go for a walk in the woods. Okay? It's how you look at the world. I is a complicated, complex style. So if you are that, sometimes you are kind of hard to understand. You tend to hold back. You don't do it on purpose. It's just that you hold back. You're ruminating. You're looking inside. You're reflecting. You get your energy there. And if you're making a decision or involved with a group, that's where you're going to turn. You need time and space to do that. And sometimes that's going to be real frustrating to people you work with because you may not have that time and space. Prefer one-to-one conversations. And spiritually, you're attracted to possibilities and inner reflection. The person who has a stronger E style needs a public forum to express themselves, to kind of clarify what's important to them, and does not hold back. And the E is real easy to understand. They're right up front. You know who they are. You know what they stand for. You know what they believe in. You know what they want. They are attracted to external structures, visible works, and practical activities. Now, the last couple of things on each one of these will be more related to some spiritual aspects of life. So, if you're an E and involved in the church, you might be if you're praying, you maybe would, an icon would be real helpful to you just to be in the presence of an icon. Because that's a visible thing, it's an external thing. You get some energy from that. Whereas the I, introvert, may just as soon be in a very simple space with nothing to take their attention. If anybody has anything to add or question, just do it. The next set of indices are the sensing and the intuition. The question we're answering here is how do you gather information? And this is real simple to understand. Sensing means you use your five senses. I hear it, I smell it, I taste it, I see it. And depends on that. And it's very present oriented. Right here, I see that there's about 20 people in the room. I'm going to decide how to use the time, okay? Hands-on, routine, detail-oriented, facts. Forgot to cross my T here. And spiritually, sensor seeks support, meaning that if you can gather in some data, that would be helpful as you're praying or as you're dealing with other people. One of the problems with this is they settle for the status quo too easily because it's right there, it's easy, and it's available. That's good too sometimes. So, but that can cause problems for that person. The intuitor, and we use the letter N to signify that, perceives the world through imagination, uses possibilities and opportunities, and is more future-oriented. This would be, if you know somebody and you say, oh, that person's a visionary, that person probably has a high end score because they're looking at big dreams, a big picture. Facts are not of a lot of importance to that person, and you can guess that maybe they could use some of the sensor to help them out if you're working together or if you're dealing on a project together. Variety and challenge is important, and then it focuses on the relationship of people and things in the world together. Intuitor is more easily disillusioned because sometimes the dreams are not practical and they're not down to earth and they don't have facts and details to back them up. They're so quiet. third set of styles is how do you process the information that you gather through your sensing or your intuition? How do you process that? And there are two ways that Myers and Briggs have indicated here. One is thinking and one is feeling. And this is a real classical thing. I think it's real popular in lots of literature and probably most of our conversation. Typically in our culture, we attribute thinking to men and feeling to women, typically in our culture. It's very simple. Thinkers conclude by using logic and analysis, reasoning things out, whereas the feeler would use their gut reactions, what they feel about an emotional sort of person. Thinkers are value fairness and consistency, and sometimes are somewhat impersonal about how they process their information. Spiritually, they are often blind to the poetic and the emotional. They don't find that helpful. Blind is kind of harsh. But if you were praying and you were high T, poetry or the Psalms might not be a helpful stimulus for you to get into your prayer life. Distinguishes between it reality and imagination. Reality is more important to that person. God is often abstract. And the thinker is open to rethinking, reexamining, refocusing, redefining on God and faith. The feeler, on the other hand, values harmony, sensitive to conflict. I think all people from Minnesota must be feelers because nobody Minnesotans value harmony, at least the ones I know, and I'm one of them. And it has more of an emphasis on imagination, so therefore, in the feeler's prayer life, the Psalms or a piece of poetry or haiku or something like that would be really a good stimulus to get into prayer.
What's haiku?
Haiku is a form of poetry. Oh boy, I had to bring it up. It's short. There's a form for it.
Seven
lines.
Yeah.
Japanese. Yeah. Just very simple. Kind of you look at something. It's very physical. You look at something and you. It's great. You might like it if you're a feeler, especially.
I think so, yeah.
The feeler experiences God in other humans, with human dimensions and through others. And the feeler feels God's acceptance. It's kind of a within sort of thing. The fourth and final and most difficult to understand indices are J and P. They answer the question, how do you make decisions on the information you received and have processed? How do you make decisions on those? And the words that are used are judging and perceiving, and those again are words that you need to kind of dump old definitions. Okay. The easiest thing to remember about J and P is about what I mentioned before, decision making. A high J feels compelled to make a decision with the data that's collected. The P, on the other hand, never has enough information. Okay? Those are if you can remember those, that's the most important thing about J and P. J's need a little more control of life. They like schedules, they like routine timetables, they like deadlines and they anticipate them. This is not me. I'm really bad with deadlines. They're punctual. And there are clear steps to a prayer life. So if you run across a form that has, you know, do these five things for your spiritual life and that, or for your prayer life, and you're a J, boy, that's great. P, on the other hand, the learning is the important thing. And the process of moving on is the important thing. I'm part of a community in Minneapolis, and there are a lot of us P's in there, and so we spend a lot of time mulling around all the possibilities, and finally there's a few J's in there that want to do some action, and they get on their high horse, and they kick us, and they make us make some decisions. The P, another phrase that people often use is they hang loose. Kind of hang loose, things will be okay. They live life, they're not concerned about order, timetables, schedules, routine, that sort of thing. Controlling is not important. And diversity and perseverance in their spiritual life and their prayer life is, you know, because you might find out something new, you know. What the heck, why not try that? So, quick and dirty overview there. I want to give you just this little piece here that is an over, that's a even quicker and dirtier overview. A little summary that takes the letters. That all people are either introvert or extrovert, inclined to be private or inclined to be public, and where they get energized. And regardless of whether you're an I or an E, we need to do two things in life. One is take in information, and you do that by perceiving, either by sensing through the senses or intuiting through possibilities. And secondly, we need to make decisions by judging, and we do that with feeling or thinking. Let me jump over here and make sure I have
a typical person's image of God is God is an ISTJ. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Have you thought that through before?
As you were going through it, it seems to me that's rather traditional image for God as I am. Mm-hmm. God were to take Myers-Briggs, that's what would be.
I just did some reading about what the gospel writers, what they were, how they reflected on Jesus. It's kind of interesting. I want you to, wait a second, let me look here. I want you to just quickly, I'm going to give you a short quiz so you can get a sense of who you are. I have scratch paper and I have some pens. So take a pen if you need it. If you don't, pass it on. And I need to get those back because they belong to Holy Village. And the first thing we're doing, I'm wandering around here like a... This is too much space for me.
It's so
first thing I want you to do is you get the piece of paper at the top of it. I want you to guess. And don't worry, this is just for you. Don't worry. Which ones of these are you, I or E? Are you S or N? Are you T or F? That's just scratch paper, so don't worry about the writing. And J or P, just guess. Don't worry. Some of you may know because you've taken it before. Maybe it's Jane today. No. Okay.
As an extrovert, when it says needs public forum to sort out experiences, is that like when you confide your troubles in someone else into a various lot of people, and then after you get their response, then you make a decision?
Okay, everybody got some scratch paper? Take a second and just quickly, from what I said, guess what you can. Well, we all have pieces of all eight. Some we have preferences generally, and I'll talk a little bit later about when, if you're borderline. I'm borderline on two of these. I flip-flop back. Depends on the situation. If you're in a relationship, what might be one thing. If you're at your work setting, it might be another, with your family, another, or traveling, or whatever. Why don't you think about it in the context of prayer today? Yeah, Betty?
Well, it's fun. A lot of people in creative work, we've talked about this, how you work so alone by yourself, and you have to get your energy from yourself, and you need to be with other people.
Yeah.
And there's a great desire.
So you have both. Yep. I have just a quick version of the Myers-Briggs, and I have ambivalent feelings about doing this, but it's a time saver. My preference is that you take the full inventory, and I'm glad to offer that. I have the materials and the scoring grids with me, and then to talk with you about that afterwards. But this will give us a chance to give you something to start thinking about and talking about. We'll probably have people running around the village talking in letters. Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you four sets of questions relating to each one of these. And I want you to put on your paper three lines. I'm going to give you two words. And the first word will be represented on the first line on your paper. And you might even write these words down. And the second word will be represented by the third line. I want you to check one of those things which is more like you. If you can't decide, check the middle. Does that make sense? I want you, just think about yourself and put down your first response. Don't ponder it through too much. And I'll give you the two words. You write the words down and then check the word. If you can't, put a check in the middle, okay? First of all, number on your paper 1 to 6. Prefer working with others, comfortable working alone. Prefer working with others, comfortable working alone. Three, action-oriented, like quiet, the second one. Four, likes to see results or interested in ideas. Likes to see results, interested in ideas. No cheating. Five, likes to use the telephone, dislikes the telephone. Likes to use the telephone, dislikes the telephone. And six, impatient with plotting or patient with slow progress. Impatient with plotting or patient with slow progress. Okay, total up, how many do you have in each column? So middle column doesn't count, so don't total that one. Okay, the left column, circle your highest number. Left column is
Excuse me, what do you mean circle your highest number?
Okay.
I mean, just if one's 2 and one's 4, you circle 4. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yep. The left column is E, the right column is I. Your higher score would be the letter that you prefer. Okay? So write that letter down that you prefer. Got it? Anybody?
I guess.
You mixed up?
He said left is E, right
guessed.
Is I.
Left is E, right is I. Okay, next number to 7. Same process here. If you prefer to be a precise worker or you dislike precise work. Precise worker dislikes precise work. Simplicity, complex. Simplicity, complex. Which is more like you? Likes using skills already learned, or likes learning new skills? Likes using skills already learned, or likes learning new skills? Number 4.
Number 10.
Okay, I just started. I started over. Makes progress step by step and progresses with insight. Makes progress step by step, progresses with insight. Pick the one that, if you can't decide, put in the middle. Works steadily, works in bursts. Works steadily, works in bursts. Distrusts inspiration. Distrusts inspiration, or follows inspirations. Distrusts inspiration, follows inspiration. Finally, good with facts, poor with facts. Good with facts, poor with facts. And when you're done, total up those columns and disregard the middle.
Does that mean processing facts or giving them out?
Let's see here. Okay, total up, circle your highest number. The left is S, your S score. The right is your N score. Okay, the next set, number to eight. Number two, eight. You need more paper?
Yeah.
Number to eight. Did you get one? Yeah. First one, emotional, logical. Which is more like you? Emotional, logical. Number two, harmonious, analytical. Think logically.
What was the first one?
Number one, or?
Was logic versus? What were the two for number one?
Emotional and logical. Number two, harmonious, analytical. Number three, needs praise, needs fairness. Needs praise, needs fairness. Number four, people value oriented, or reason value oriented. People value oriented, or reason value oriented. Five, sympathetic, firm-minded. Sympathetic, firm-minded. Which is more like you? Six, dislikes reprimanding or finds it easy to reprimand. Dislikes reprimanding or finds it easy to reprimand. Seven, personal, impersonal. Personal, impersonal. And finally, likes to please others, or pleasing others is not important. Likes to please others, pleasing others is not important. Total those up, disregard the middle column, and circle your highest score. The left column is the F score. The right column is the T score. Left is F, right is T. Last set will be seven, so number to seven. Ready? Adaptable, decisive. Adaptable, decisive. Needs time to decide. Decides quickly. Needs time to decide. Decides quickly. Number three, open to new ideas on a project. Satisfied with a decision. Open to new ideas on a project. Satisfied with a decision. Four, starts too many projects. Likes to keep on project begun. Starts too many projects, likes to keep on project begun. Five, postpones unpleasant jobs. Does not notice new needs. Postpones unpleasant jobs. Does not notice new needs. Hard one.
Yeah. I'm having a hard time relating those two.
If you can't decide.
Well, I mean, just the fact that it's like two different.
What are the two? Postpones more like.
Postpones unpleasant jobs, does not notice new needs. Count up your columns, disregard the middle one, circle your highest score. The left score is your P score. And your right score is your J score. I would take the long one before I trust it.
Well, I've noticed I've gotten the borderline in some of those.
I've changed too.
I gained a lot of personal.
Yeah. Okay, so everybody's kind of got their little profile there. I'm going to give you a handout. This gives you the little summary I put up on the wall, and then also a little descriptor. Find your descriptor. There's some on the back, too. And circle any words that fit for you on that descriptor, or cross things out that you think are off the wall. But find your descriptor. Okay. Anybody have any comments or any reactions to their types? Right on?
Pretty close.
Who guessed right?
I guess the four.
Several people. See, I told you I didn't tell you anything you didn't know. Several people did. Several people probably had one piece wrong.
Have borderline on the first two.
Yeah. You might want to take the longer test and see if that's continues with that. The validity of this test, I don't trust the validity of it. Take the long one. I'm a skeptic as far as this is concerned. I would go back to the original. Okay. Any responses or thoughts as you read your type, the four types that you are?
Can I just clear up one thing on the very first section? Was it E was the first column?
Yeah, let's see. I'll get it right. Make sure I give you the right one. E is the left, I is the right. Are you surprised?
No, not totally.
A little bit surprised. Want to say something?
I looked at that if I was I, but when I took the test, it turned out it was the P.
Were your numbers close? Were your totals close?
No, it was a lot in the middle.
Lot in the middle, okay. You're probably borderline. You came up as an E on the test?
Yeah.
One of the things about I and E is that if you were truly an I, you're a strong I, likely. Because in our culture, you're not validated, you're not praised for being an I. We're encouraged to be an E in our culture. So if you're a strong E, you're probably an E, but if you're a strong I, you probably really are an I. An E may go flip back and forth more frequently. I'd take the whole one, the long one. If you had a lot of, I can't decide ones. You may be, I'm borderline on E and I. It depends on the situation. My prayer life is clearly I, but there are lots of things in my work life that I have to be in E.
And to be, the sense of being energized by everyone else is definitely me, but that meaning time and space is
fits
a very important part of me. Mm-hmm. Even though it's sort of a time of reflecting on what I've done with all those people.
What did you come up with?
I'm strong E, very strong E, but I still have to say that there are things in I that are definitely part of me.
Well, that's important to know when you're thinking about your prayer life. Or your spirituality, your spiritual life. Anything else? I'm going to give you another little descriptor sheet. I got on the risk that it's going to just confuse you, but there, when, you'll find that if you ever have a chance to take the Myers-Briggs another time, that there's just what they would say a plethora of information. And I've been at ones where they've given me whole books of material, and I was like, wait a minute, I can't.
Janet, help me with a sentence on the.
On that thing?
On this thing, if you will.
Which one?
The sentence beginning introverts. Yeah.
Which on the back side?
The full side.
Introverts have an outer world.
Take a look. For introverts, the last letter of the cryptic T or J points to their secondary. Where they are truly themselves, introverts who score P are truly J. And if they score J, they're truly P. It sounds like
that's
you can't really trust your...
Yeah, that's why I said introverts are really complex because they hold back and they need to be inside. And sometimes out what they might project is of J, but what really the reality is that they're a P. So it's real hard. Don't follow this test that I gave you today on that one. It's confusing, I know. But part of it is that the I is so complicated because you get flipped around, you know. You go inside and what people see on the outside is different. I think most people think I'm an E, but I'm probably a much stronger I.
And that's what we recorded, that's what we learned.
Right.
The second one loved us when we were born. The second one seems to be really easy to understand. Because you go, oh, that sounds like me. The first one was real hard.
I had some
questions.
Okay. The second one, look at the side only with the boxes on it. Okay. I'll talk about the other side of it later. This one is it's, you know, the phrase, it's phrases, and you can pick out the ones that work for you and cross out the ones that don't. Another interesting thing to do, remember I said this was about differences, is look at your complete opposite on this one with the boxes. Look at your complete, all four letters are the opposite. So if you're an INFP, look at ESTJ, okay? And you can, what that will do for you is kind of see the areas of your blind spots or what kinds of things you might look for in someone you want to work with, live with, be around, entertain yourself with, pray with. Okay, those are the things that maybe are areas that you might want to grow in or you realize you need somebody else's help with. Again, one of the things that's really important about this is that nobody's a perfect any one of these four-letter sets. You will be attracted to pieces of everything. And that's okay. You know, you are the one in the long run that has to clarify who you are to yourself. This is just a tool. There might be some things that work for you.
Could you fill in the information in the second row and the very last box?
The last one.
I believe that is incomplete.
ESFJ?
Yeah.
Let me get the master. ESFJ? Sociable, popular, active in school affairs.
No, the box is here. This sheet.
The printing is not complete.
This one that I'm looking at, the printing doesn't go all the way to the bottom. I'm just wanting to know what the last
line is. ESFJ?
I just wanted to know what the last line is.
Okay. Main interest is in things that directly and visibly affect people's lives. Is there another one?
That's the last line, but isn't it?
Affect people's lives. Anything else on there that got cut off?
On the back side where it's got sense impact and food type, what I do, this...
I'm going to talk about that in a second.
The long way, okay.
Look at the boxes first.
Okay.
You can look at the other if you want, but don't ask about it.
Yes, teacher.
That's what I get for giving you such a tempting piece. You want to say something?
Yeah.
Okay. Thought you were taking a breath to start talking. Okay. I'm just going to leave this. This is just for your information. If you want to talk more with me personally or together with other people, please feel free to do that. Because I do want to get on to the next piece. Next stuff, because we really haven't gotten into the prayer stuff yet. Now I'll turn to the back of that second handout. And... and find your type there. They focus there on the SNN because it's kind of a basic one. It's how you gather information. Find your type, and it talks to you about your spirituality. I'm using spirituality. This is a definition I'm going to read to you about spirituality. A way of life which is a dynamic clustering of assumptions, attitudes, inclinations, patterns, and behaviors that characterize our relationship with God and with each other. So a way of life, I think the critical words are way of life, dynamic, relationship to God, but things that are important to us and how we relate to God and other people. And that spirituality... Prayer is only a part of spirituality, but it's an important part that gets us to, talks about that relationship with God, taking what we believe is right and important, and how we relate it to other people and to God. I think our personality styles and these types tell us a lot about how we relate to God and what it, or how we prefer to relate to God. Many people choose a prayer style or a style of meditation that's really alien, really, to their preferred style of making decisions and relating. And then they feel frustrated in that, and I don't think I've chosen the proper prayer life to my style, because I often feel frustrated by it and give up on it. I need to do lots more work on looking at, well, how do I prefer to do things? And how can I find that will give me a lot more pleasure and joy and makes me happier just to be praying, because that I'm doing it in my preferred style. You know, I'm going to be good to myself. I'm not going to put myself through this discipline that doesn't work for me. It makes me feel bad, you know. It's kind of the old browbeating kind of thing, or... that sort of thing, mea culpa, kind of thing. The book that I stole this title again, I'm not very creative at making up titles for sessions, so I steal them from books that I like, but I always acknowledge the book. It's a book called Who We Are Is How We Pray, and the subtitle is Matching Personality and Spirituality by Charles J. Keating. And this book is published by 23rd Publications in Mystic, Connecticut. A great place to be from.
I'm from Mystic.
23rd Publications, Mystic, Connecticut. And I think it's 1987. Charles J. Keating, K-E-A-T-I-N-G. Just as we're talking about that, I've listed some books up here that are resources to the Myers-Briggs. There's another one called Prayer and Temperament that is in the library here in Holden. Different prayer forms for different personality types. There's also a third one that I didn't bring along with me, and they don't have it here, called From Image to Likeness, A Jungian Path to the Gospel Journey by Harold Grant, Magdala Thompson, and Thomas Clark. I neglected to say earlier that this is based on Jungian theory. Carl Jung, psychologist. I'm not going to get into that today. We'll talk about that again. Then there are two other books that are just real basic to the Myers-Briggs. One is called Please Understand Me, that it has a longer version of the test, but not the long version, called Please Understand Me, Character and Temperament Types, David Kiersey and Marilyn Bates. This does not have the prayer aspect of it, but it's just an overview.
And, but if an I is married to an E, you better have it.
It's not like you have experience.
Yeah.
This is in the bookstore.
How do you spell Kiersey?
K-I-E-I-S-E. Wait, start over. K-E-I-R-S-E-Y. David.
Could you say that again?
Please Understand Me. It's in the bookstore. And then the other one that's in the bookstore that I don't have a copy of, I spelled another word wrong. Gifts Differing by, and I would, if, well, that's by Isabel Myers, the originator of the test. If you want really want to get into it and understand it, I would take by that. If you want a just quick overview, easy reading, Please Understand Me. We'll do that. I mean, you can, that's like lighter reading. But if you really want to get into it, and being a psychology person, I recommend the originator, Isabel Myers, book more highly. But I go to the other one too when I want to quick understand.
On the back side of the sheet, there's something that doesn't come through on INFP. Fourth line, ongoing spiritual what?
Reflections on daily activities. Yeah, I guess some of those didn't come out very clearly on that side. I'm sorry about that.
Was it reflection on what?
On daily activities. One of the, I just want to go quickly over some of these, the things that Dr. Keating mentions in his book.
He has some interesting, see if these fit, if any of these fit for you. He names a type of prayer for each one of the styles. I, the prayer from within, that makes sense, right? E, open prayer. S, practical prayer. Remember that, let's see, S. I'm talking about S, right? Yeah. That's present time. And so Dr. Keating says that he thinks the S is the kind of reliable churchgoer, person that will do stuff, details, attention to facts, that sort of thing. You're not an S, are you? And they've asked you to be on the church council. Yeah.
Can you put back open prayer? Is that the equivalent of public prayer, or what does that mean?
Yeah, it could be public prayer or more open to others' prayers, or prayers that others create, and using those as your kind of meditational thing. Does that make sense?
I just wasn't sure what
those were. Sure. Yeah, these are just this kind of buzz phrases, but I found them helpful. Where was it? Practical prayer. Prayer of hope is the end. And that, and remember, is kind of the dream imaginer and the dreamer kind of thing. Prayer of hope.
That would be like prayer for rain.
Prayer for rain. We need a lot of animals this summer.
I was kidding.
Well, actually, praying for rain would be very practical.
Right. I was kidding.
Oh. Sorry, I'm literal.
In the Western context. Yeah, that's good. Okay. Prayer of hope. Could be both, huh? TNF, prayer of reason. And then F, feeling prayer. I'm just looking here at some of my other notes. I'm going to have to run fast here. One of the things that I think is neat about the feeling spirituality is Dr. Keating suggests that that the feeler sees God as a co-worker, and that God is in all that we are. Whereas the thinking person is more logical and reasonable and that sort of thing. And is impatient, the thinking is impatient with poetry and psalms. So if you are a thinker, the psalms might not be the place to start out. It might be a little too, or a book of poetry, you know, might be too ethereal for you. And then J and P, orderly prayer. Remember, in control is the J. Likes things settled, a nice order. Probably love the Lutheran church. Liturgy. I grew up in the United Methodist Church and then moved to Minnesota. I'm Lutheran. What else? that was one of the things when I first started going to Lutheran church, it was, boy, this is orderly. P lived out prayer, you know, hang loose, you know, whatever happens, take what comes. These are just, I'm just going to go over these quickly. Another piece then that I want to give you, I have two more handouts that relate to these. I'll give you some more. There's some. I'm going to pass these out so that it goes in a single line because there's two pages and they look awfully alike. Okay. They have each one of the eight. Oh, I need one of each of those. Hold it. All of the eight types in their spirituality. And this just gives you a little bit more to think about and you'll find, in some cases, your four-letter cryptics and some advice about that in each one. If you can't read it, let me know. These come from Keating's book. And one of the things that he puts at the as a major part of his book is he takes sample spiritualities, prayer styles. And he says that by no means are these the only ones that you can look at and use, but they're just samples that he wanted to propose as possibilities. And they are these four: Ignatian, Salesian, Teresian, Teresa of Avila, and Chardin. Just let me give you a few ideas. And he suggests that these styles I've listed up here would be attracted to these particular styles. The ones in parentheses are possibilities, they're kind of borderline. So you can look at that, kind of find yours, and I'll give you some comments about Ignatian, as the all formal Ignatian is named for Ignatius, and is often more speculative and looks for understanding and a calling or a looks at feeling. So therefore, there's the F, people who are F would enjoy this. It's a very structured plan, another point I want to bring up, I did not make copies of a set of sample prayer lives for everybody. If you would like to look at that in the book, I was trying to save trees. I felt like I was giving you a lot of paper already. If you would like to look at, he has a sample prayer possibility that you could use for each one of these, for each style, each of the four-letter cryptics. Francis de Sales was from Geneva in the early 1600s, and his style is more simple and more unified, and little direction to it, and uses analogy, metaphor, therefore the thinking people would get along with that, and it's also a very relaxed style. Teresian is Teresa of Avila, and that pretty orderly, pretty logical, using seven steps, moving from self-knowledge to union with God, which in some ways, what I'm saying we all should be doing is self-knowledge to get to the point of union with God. And then finally, the one that he proposes is Chardin, and this is more intellectual and action-oriented. This is a Eucharistic. He proposes this as a Eucharistic because it is action-oriented. Comments on, like I said in the beginning, it's going to give you a lot of stuff, a lot of information. So maybe there's a question you have or something you're swirling, your head swirling about. Or,
yeah. So now, what was the book that would, I didn't write it all down, but the one that you're talking about would link these styles to the sample prayer style?
The book that I titled this session on, Who We Are Is How We Pray, by Charles Keating.
Is that in the book?
It is not. They didn't get my, with all the changes in the staff here, my letter got lost somewhere.
And then, since it is in the book, sir, could you give me again the
It's written up here, too, if you want. Afterwards, you can maybe do that. If you're welcome to look at these books, too.
Anybody else? The neat thing about all of this is that God knows who you are. And I think I can say, God, please understand me.
You've done some stuff in this, both of you.
Yeah.
What? How have you made use of it?
Individually.
Was it through your church that you took it, or
was it actually through our daughter?
They're now using this at our place to match intern and internship supervisor.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they're doing it a lot.
Yeah, business. Yeah. I get real scared sometimes when I think of things like this being used. I think if people remember, it's a tool, and it just provides us with another piece of data amongst a pool of places we can get data from about ourselves. But I know they've been doing that for a few years now, haven't they?
It's not the only factor.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Just, it's one factor.
I think it's helpful. I mean, it also gives you something to sit down and talk with somebody else about over. You know, you just don't. You sat down and said to them, well, how do you make decisions? A person might not know what to say, but if you have this instrument in front of you, you can say, well, I found out that, you know, that doesn't work for me, or it doesn't hold true. Yeah.
Our long-range planning committee did it for fun and just to see that there are many different types weren't represented. So we had to try to do some thinking about other people in our congregation that were not represented by our committee. It was very helpful in that respect.
Wonderful. Because originally it was about differences. And it helps you know where your blind spots are. Wonderful use of it. Yeah, Betty.
You know, we did the same thing in our church council. We all took it. And the conclusion was the council should have the variety rather than saying one was a council type. We're looking for that type that we needed, the diversity.
Great. You wanted to say something a little bit ago, and
well,
I overlooked you.
I was going to say, it would seem that this could also direct people as to what kind of church they want to be involved in.
Interesting.
Like you said, you
they
were
could, instead of having first Lutheran church, you could be, I'm an INFP church.
Would people be attracted more like to the Methodist or the Catholic or the Lutherans? I mean, that's extreme.
Yeah, but the other thing is, what these people are saying that it's a group of differences. And
so it just helps us know where people are coming from and how to interact.
Yeah.
The company I work for has a different test that's called, I don't know if you've heard of it, Managing Interpersonal Relationships, MIR.
Yeah.
And there are four categories there, not quite like this, you're not one of four types. You're either driver, an expressive, an analytic, or an amiable. Mm-hmm. So you go around and say, oh, you're a driver, no wonder, we're always using those words, back and forth. But it does the same type of thing, how you make decisions are reflected in those categories as well.
One of the things I like about this is that if you look at that sheet with the boxes on it, there's not really one you don't want to be. I mean, you feel bad about being. It's real positive, and you see what's good about yourself, about other people. So many of the things we take, that one doesn't sound, I'm not meaning to why that's an anger expression.
No, but you're right, there, there's more kindness and things that affect the opposite, you're what you don't like.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just saying, my son uses it in premarital counseling, maybe most of us that doesn't apply to, but I think it certainly could be useful.
Could have it for post-marital counseling.
Somebody else had their hands up, there were a bunch that shut up there once. Well, I appreciate your willingness to kind of shoot through this stuff real quickly, we covered a lot of ground, and again, if you're, well, thanks. If you would like to talk more, feel free to pull me aside, and if you'd like to take the longer version, I'm glad to give you the materials to do that. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.